It's that time on the radio where we listen attentively to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. Hi there, Bill.
Hi, Howard. You're sure about that attentive thing? I thought this was everybody's excuse to put the kettle on.
No, don't you believe it. we're going to talk today about protecting and growing your wealth. Would you say today that today's environment is a challenging one to invest in?
I think it probably is thought of as being challenging, because I think one's approach to whether it's a good time or not is, of course, subject to the most incredible amount of external influences. And over the last 10 years, since the economic crisis of 2008, people have become, much more fractious in their thinking about whether they should invest or not. Of course, it was a terrifying time. It's always very nearly impossible to put your mind back to the very point in time at which it was at its worst point. Was it when Lehman Brothers went belly up? Was it when SocGen in France thought they were going to go bust, when a couple of small German banks went bust? Was it the building societies in the UK that ran out of money, people queuing outside the door? That kind of impression sits very deeply in your memory. And it takes sometimes more than 10 years to unshackle yourself from the fear that that kind of environment generated. Now, of course, what we've witnessed, and perhaps, this is the most important message of today's discussion, if you like, is that if you ran for cover because of the circumstances that existed in 2008 with bank collapses, economic disaster, Royal Bank of Scotland, Bank of Scotland, Lloyds Bank going into public ownership, National Westminster Bank, God above, I don't blame anyone for running for cover, because even I didn't know where we were going to go. I remember saying to my wife at the time, we're going to make sure we've got enough liquidity here, because it looks to me like, we could have a bank closure on our hands. But the truth is that because I have a professional responsibility towards the clients of Blevins Franks, I kind of adopt the mentality similar for myself, and we stayed the course. And I said to my wife, look, it's better for us just to stay with this. We don't need the money right now. And of course, I have been the beneficiary of one of the longest bull markets in living memory, because since 2009, the markets have more or less, they've gone up and down, of course, but they have gone up significantly over that period of time, because when that crisis came, as usual, the market overreacted in the downturn, and we have been in recovery ever since. I mean, the bull market has really hardly ever stopped for more than a short breather. And so, is today challenging? Yeah, sure, it's challenging. I am concerned about the level of international debt in the US, Europe and the UK and further afield. But the circumstances are such that, it's not beyond the wit of man to overcome those things. And quantitative easing and the idea that they're printing money, of course, these are worrying times. But out there are investment opportunities, businesses that will thrive through all of this. And with careful selection of the appropriate investment advisor and the general selection of your investment strategy, your risk tolerance, and the establishment of a proper portfolio, there is money to be made out there. So whilst the markets are challenging, whilst the times are challenging, it's taking on those challenges that makes your money work to its fullest advantage. It's no good having your cash languishing in bank and building society accounts thinking it's safe. You wouldn't have thought it was safe in 2008 when the banks were going bust. And I don't think they're going to go bust now. They've reconstituted their balance sheets significantly over the period with all new regulatory tests involved. But the truth is that the bank returns on your money, building society returns on your money, are in almost every case lower than the prevailing rate of inflation and massively lower than what you could achieve in alternative investments properly balanced over a period of time.
Mm. How important, Bill, is it to establish a personal strategy?
I think above all other things, apart from getting to the point of actually allocating where your money is going to be invested, I think the personalization of your investment strategy is the most important single factor. There isn't a perfect solution that fits everybody. One size definitely does not fit all. What will suit your requirements will depend on your specific objectives, your time frame, your attitude to investment risk. You may wish to invest in some areas and not in others, in one currency and not in others. An improperly personalized strategy, your portfolio could easily find itself not working as hard as you would like it to, or it will become difficult to access when you need it. Even worse, if you get it entirely, it can be eaten away. We've all heard about people who made speculative investments based upon fear or greed, which ended up being chewed up. It's crucial that your portfolio is created and managed to meet your personalised and particular set of circumstances and to obtain the fulfilment of your aspirations, including your requirement for income in parallel with your requirement to see the capital improvement above inflation. You have to work out whether your investments have actually been tailored for your expatriate life outside of your original country. It's no good, in my opinion, having a portfolio which worked well when you were a UK resident and having done nothing to recognise that you now live in a different currency environment and in a different marketplace. You've become an international individual. Your portfolio should respect that. You need to make sure overall that your strategy is adjusted on a basis at the outset and regularly thereafter to keep pace with your current and future changes in circumstance.
Yeah. And of course, there's that four-letter word called risk. How can you calculate your appetite for risk?
It's quite a challenge, is that, because I think if you ask most lay individuals, what levels of risk would you like to take, they're understandably, in most cases, going to say, well, not very much, thank you, but I'd still like a reasonably high level of return. Well, the two aren't necessarily incompatible, but generally speaking, they are. We at Levins Franks have a relatively thorough and somewhat scientific approach, a basis of assessment set up by professors from Oxford, which is intended to help. It's not a perfect world. I can't guarantee this is right in every case, but it is a massive guidance to helping the client determine the right balance of risk and return that he or she is looking for, to give them both the returns they're looking for, but much more importantly, the peace of mind that they deserve in retirement. There's no point over-risking yourself in chasing high returns and then, being worried and staying awake at nights because, things aren't going quite the way you would have wished. Different assets represent a whole variety of different levels of risk, ranging from cash and, fixed income assets in government and corporate bonds at one end of the scale, to equities in the major markets and minor markets, emerging markets, and then to real assets, like property. I mean, low risk, I'm sure most people would understand, generally speaking, means if you say you're going to stick at low risk, means that you're going to get relatively lower levels of return, not necessarily low, but lower than you might otherwise be able to achieve if you understand what risk assessment is all about. It's very difficult for an individual to effectively assess their own tolerance to investment risk. I know this is a rather extreme analogy, but I've often analogized it to, surgeons don't regularly, normally operate on members of their own family because there's an emotional hookup which doesn't give them an objectivity about what should be done. They leave the job to another surgeon in the same field. It's the same with assessing risk. You need to consign the determination of what risk you can take in relation to all the facts that you give to your advisor, and let the advisor come back to you and say, this is where I think you sit on the risk spectrum. Let me tell you why I think that, and let me tell you what that means. And then you feed me back with your response to that, because it may be that the advisor of Levins Franks or wherever has got to then fine tune what they're offering you as an investment option. But remember, without taking a reasonable, calculated and sensible level of investment risk, you might struggle to outpace inflation and you might end up losing money, especially with longer term bank deposits, low interest rates. So I think an independent advisor like Levins Franks is often able to present options that will encourage you to understand how you can control risk within your defined boundaries, for example, sometimes staggering the timing of investments in riskier assets to reduce the exposure to market movements. But overall, tying up your understanding and acceptance of risk with your personalised strategy, those are the first two important steps towards getting your portfolio and your returns from that portfolio right.
So for our listeners in Spain, Bill, is your time horizon a key consideration when deciding where to invest?
I think it is, yeah, sure. If you're thinking of investing for the next 12 months, I wouldn't recommend that you invest in equities, because I can't tell you, and nor can anybody else if they're honest, where the markets are going to be in 12 months' time. If you tell me that you're 65 and looking to invest in a portfolio of assets that will produce a reasonable level of income and you have a horizon which is indefinite, i.e. you're investing for the remainder of your life to get your capital to work and to produce with the right level of income, then of course you should have a balanced portfolio of assets which are real in the sense that you're investing in companies and other areas of investment. Now, the longer you've got to invest, the more you can uptick, if you like, on the risk spectrum. Because with that time scale in front of you, you can often ride out any short-term market volatility. Like I mentioned earlier, Howard, about the dip that took place in 2008. If you knew you were properly positioned and you still had another 5 or 10 years of your investment life left, why would you take your money out? That was the story we told to clients. And of course, all of those clients that took our advice and stayed the course in 2009, they have, generally speaking, benefited from a phenomenal rise in markets ever since. And that's the benefit of, you know, understanding your time horizon and making the most of it.
Yeah. And how important is diversification for the performance of your portfolio?
As I said at the beginning, asset allocation, exactly where you're going to invest your money, is part of that diversification process. The higher, obviously, the concentration in any one investment area, including the UK, and that's often the biggest risk, I think, that we find with many people coming to Blevins Franks, is that they turn up with a portfolio of very sensible investments, often accumulated over a lengthy period of time, but all accumulated while they were UK resident. And as a consequence, most of their assets are denominated in sterling and based in the UK market. And it's very often necessary as an international resident to spread your investment choices across a wider range of currencies, especially if you're going to be living in the Eurozone for the rest of your retirement, and also to take advantage of different markets. Now, the diversification, the not putting your eggs in one basket, could never be truer than at the time you're looking to set up a portfolio as an expatriate Brit living in continental Europe. So, the diversification issue is all part of the understanding of how to control risk. And that diversification is a complex process. You know, there are a myriad number of investment opportunities in so many markets around the world, whether it's the US major companies, US smaller companies, UK major market, UK 250 market, the small companies market, the European market, the Eastern European market. You know, it's infinite. And the idea is to sit down and talk to someone who understands the risk of each of those areas of investment and bring together a blend of choices from a number of areas and currencies to make sure, and geographical areas, to make sure that the diversification is right, and as a consequence, your risk preparation is in accordance with what you're prepared to live with.
So, Bill, how do you best incorporate tax planning with your investment strategy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the overriding benefits of using a business like Blevins Franks, who come out of an origin of tax of high quality, advanced and sophisticated tax planning, but who have also evolved into a substantial wealth management business, is that we can bring together the best impact of both areas of wealth management. I mean, I think that, you know, getting the portfolio of investments right with diversification and risk management and all the rest of it, it's like, you know, the large and complex jigsaw. That perhaps is the coloured area of the jigsaw, which it's not too difficult to put together once you've got all the information and all the bits are in the right place. The tax planning comes in the blue sky bit when you're looking to see and make sure that every single piece fits, so you get the complete picture. And then by the time you've finished, you've got the advantage of both a properly constructed, well-diversified, risk-tolerant, well-balanced portfolio that's producing the returns that you aspire to, and at the same time that you are, having made your money through hard work and endeavour most of the time, keeping as much of it as possible and only paying unto Caesar what is due unto Caesar. It is very complicated to get the tax planning strategy right on your own. It's not an effective DIY process. You will need to look at the tax rules of Spain, because that's where you're resident. And you may be having to look also at the tax laws of the country you came from and the tax laws of others. You might have assets. And the benefit of Blackstone Franks, with its international taxation skills, is that it can bring all of those things together to create the blue sky of your jigsaw, to give you the tax benefits that make sure you keep most of your money and you don't pass anything unnecessarily to the tax authorities of any jurisdiction, because there are plenty of opportunities for legitimate, sensible, and authorised, approved tax planning devices that you may take advantage of. So it is important, if you're making good money, which is, of course, the principle, you mustn't let the tax tail wag the investment dog. You must make good investments. That's what makes you the money. But having made those decisions to make you the money, what you want then to do is to make decisions and take action that means you keep as much of it as is legitimately possible.
And finally, Bill, how often should one review their portfolio to see if it needs changing?
I think generally, in simple terms, I think once a year, if you've set it up properly, correctly, with a I can only speak for Blevins Franks here, but if you've gone through the Blevins Franks process of making sure we've got it as right can be at the outset, and that Blevins Franks are continuing to advise you on any significant changes that take place outside of your control, tax changes, investment changes, blah, 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 then, of course, Blevins Franks will keep you posted on those things. But I think you need to sit down and review your portfolio probably once a year. But remember, if there are significant personal changes, you have a deterioration in health, you devise an idea that you might be going back to the UK at some time in the future, you have grandchildren whose school fees you want to pay, a divorce takes place in your own life or that of your children, you may wish to review your investment arrangements, your tax planning affairs, as soon as those significant changes take place, because the sooner you act on known changes, the sooner you bring about the correct and better qualified long-term solution. But otherwise, if things run as they should and no major personal changes, then of course once a year is probably adequate. If you have a diverse portfolio and you spend half your life looking up share prices, you probably shoot yourself after 12 weeks, because there will be times in that cycle, that short-term cycle, when things fall by 3 or 4%, times when they go up by 3 or 4%, and you're always left in a confused state. What you want to do is to look at your portfolio about once a year as a minimum, simply to see overall what the performance has been like, and where it's been good to pat your advisor on the back and ask for more of the same, and where it's not been so good to understand exactly why it's not been so good in that relatively short 12-month period, and look towards any changes that might be necessary to get back in line for the following 12 months.
Yeah, good advice as always, Bill. How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, I mean, getting advice with Blevins Franks isn't a commitment. Getting advice in touch with Blevins Franks via its local offices, and you can see those on our website at www.blevinsfranks.com, is, I think, a precautionary move on anyone's part to make sure that their assets are properly structured to meet their personal circumstances, and that they are properly positioned to avoid the worst implications of taxation, whether it's during your lifetime or the taxation that is inevitably going to come your way, or the way of your beneficiaries, your widow or your widow at the end of your life. This is a very good time, especially pre the Brexit changes, which will bring about some restrictions and present some opportunities. If you are thinking about tax planning and investment planning, I think now is probably as good a time as any to get stuck into it.
Many thanks. We'll talk again at the same time next week.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Have a good week.